We'll be talking about the racing in just a moment, but we wanted to take a quick second to mention Pat Spullin. The news broke this week that leading rider and popular racing figure Pat Spullin had passed away after a long illness. His decorated racing CV illustrates the qualities he had in the saddle, but the outpouring of sympathy across the globe even better illustrates the qualities he had out of it. A university liked character, Pat faced his illness with incredible bravery. He simply rolled up his sleeves and got on with it, all while raising over €3 million for Cancer Trials Ireland throughout last summer. Sports fans have lost a great, but most importantly, Frances has lost her husband, and Hannah, Paddy and Sarah have lost their dad. Our thoughts and condolences are with them and all of Pat's friends and family at this time.
Tiger Roll is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second round Ox Health Grand National.
Desert Orchid, what history being made. Roars of applause. The keys in his counting house.
Heading down towards the last ride in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. This year she jumped it perfectly.
Hello and welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. It's Friday, it's time for tips, and it's time for Frank Hickey. Frank, how are you?
I'm very good, Tom, and yourself?
I'm absolutely flying it, and alongside you on my Zoom call is a sun-kissed Patrick Power. Paddy, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks. I love that. It's time for Frank Hickey. Oh yeah, and Paddy's here as well.
Yeah, well, you're always here. You're like the permanent fixture. You just can't get rid of you. You're unsackable. Bulletproof.
Bulletproof is right.
We've got lots to look at, lads. I'm in good form. I won't lie. It's Friday, the weekend ahead, and I'm looking forward to maybe having a little glass of beer this evening. But we've got a bit of racing to look forward to at the weekend. The Air Gold Cup is the highlight. We're going to take a look at ITV Racing's Saturday card now, and we're going to kick things off with Air 155. Frank, is the first race we're going to look at. It is the Doonside Cup, over 10 furlongs. What kind of shape will the market have here? I suppose Adabe will be favourite.
He is favourite, Jan. I think there's potential for him to go off a good deal shorter than what he is now. I wasn't sure when I was pricing this up Monday whether he'd take his chance here or not. He has been declared. He has conceded a £7 penalty, but the going at the moment is good to soft, good in places, I think. The weather is good, but at the same time, it's not overly warm, so I can't see it drying out too much. Once there's a little bit of ease in the ground, that'll be fine for him, and he's just far too classy for these. Like, if you go back to, he's won two Group 1s in Australia this season and the second in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot behind Lord North. There's nothing of that sort of quality in here, and he should take a bit of beating. Albeit, he probably is using this as a stepping stone for the Champion Stakes at Ascot next month.
Paddy, would 6-4 appeal if he's so far clear on ratings? 6-4 might be a price, would it?
Yeah, so I started off, when I was looking at this race, I started exactly what you're talking about, saying 6-4. Yeah, it's a bit early in the day to be getting stuck into a 6-4 shot. And then, so I was looking at Euke and Glenn, Fox Chairman, a few of the Lord Glitters, even a few of them against him, try and get him beat. But you just come back to it. Like, the last two times he got beaten at this trip was by Lord North at Ascot and then by Magical before that. And you're kind of going, that's slightly better than this race here, this listed race. So I think Frank said, I think this 6-4 actually might be a really, really good price. And the only doubt is that he's not. But even, sure, 85 or 90%, Frank, should be good enough, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. He's just a different level to these. And as I said, I can see that 6-4 not lasting very long. And I would be surprised if he has Pete odds on.
2:30 Air is the Air Gold Cup consolation. It is the Air Silver Cup over 6 furlongs and 6 places here with Paddy Power. No market at the moment, Frank. Golden Apollo at the top of the weights. What do you make of the Air Silver Cup?
Look, Golden Apollo won it last year, but I think the market's going to be dominated by Kings Lynn for Andrew Balding, Oisin Murphy, but only ran twice last year, was beaten ahead on debut at Windsor, won the big sales race at Doncaster, beating Rep RT. Made three appearances at Doncaster last month, was 8-11. I think initially people would have been quite disappointed that he was beaten so easily by Starman, but Starman looks a probably a Group 1 winner in waiting. He absolutely bolts it up. He's unbeaten. He bolts up at, I think, listed level at York in his last start, which would make Kingsling look very well handicapped off a mark of 94. My only concern would be the draw. I'm not sure. We'll find out with the Bronze Cup today, but I suspect High is the place you want to be. And he's just going to be short enough considering he doesn't have that much experience either. And the one I'm going to side with is Atalanta's boy for David Menuzier. He is very progressive, actually. He's only had 10 starts in handicaps, won 5 of them. And in one of the races he was beaten, he was only beaten a neck. This year he's had 4 starts, 2 wins, a neck second. And he was nearly last in the Stewards' Cup, but he had excuses there. He was a plunge horse that day. He was back in 25s into 11s. He missed the break by about 10 lengths and was never in the race after that. You put a line completely through it. But last time at Goodwood, he absolutely bolted up off a mark of 88. He carries a £5 penalty as a result. But you just think this sort of test is really going to suit him. A really strong pace over 6 furlongs on ground with a slight ease. He's drawn around the pace as well. Bungee jump, likes to get on with things. He's drawn high as well. And I just think he's a horse that he's going to win a nice handicap and this might be it. He probably won't be a massive price, but you'd be guessing he's roughly going to be between 8 and 12 to 1. And that'll be fair each way about the 6 places, I think.
There you have it. Frank Hickey unpicking the Silver Cup of Air. Paddy, top that.
Yeah, I'm going to go for his next door neighbour in stall 16, Bernardo O'Reilly. And for kind of a stupid reason, really. But like this fella had like about 27 duck eggs in a row, no form whatsoever, and then popped up after a big break at big odds in a big field handicap as well at Doncaster. And I just thought that they might have just found the key to him somehow or other. And he was quite well back that day with like 25s into 18 or something like that. It wasn't like it was nibbled at, shall we say, each way. And just think that if they have found the key to him and they didn't know what it was before, that maybe he could go on a bit of a streak and could be ahead of the handicapper. So he'd be a big price. I would imagine he'll be, I don't know, 14, 16, 20 to 1, that type of price. So for a little sneak each way, maybe Bernardo O'Reilly.
3.05 is the Firth of Clyde Stakes, Group 3 for fillies, 2-year-old fillies. Cultum is 2-1 favourite. Iliacato is 11-2 next in. 8-1 Lullaby Moon alongside Mamba Wamba and Scarlet Bear. And She's So Nice in 11-1 Bar. Paddy, kick us off.
Do you know, I'd give it the full title. It's for the Ayrshire Agricultural Challenge Cup. There you go. But I'm trying to find a reason to get Cultum beaten. He's 2-1 favourite Yeah, it's kind of hard to see it because she's a very short price. But when you go through the rest of the race, there's lots of holes in them. I thought the two that I've picked out maybe is Satanti Girl at a big price. She's interesting because she only had one run. I was pretty impressed that day, so it could be a bit better. That was about a 20-1 shot. And also the other one was Iliacato for Mick Channon, wasn't it? Yeah, for Mick Channon and Tom Marcand. It's probably going to be second or third favourite. I was very impressive in the middle of its 3 runs. And that was at Windsor. So I might just take a chance at Iliacato just at like 5 or 6 to 1 rather than the 2 to 1 Om Cultum, but it does look obvious.
Frank, would you be with Paddy? Would you be trying to take on the favourite here?
Not really. She was very impressive on debut at Tursk. She clocked a really fast section that day and marked her out with some horse of plenty of ability. If you go back and watch it, it's amazing where she came from to win. She was very green the last day in the Lowther. I thought it was still a fair run to be third, beaten just over 4 lengths. If she's learned from that, which I suspect she probably will, I think she deserves to be relatively short. I would agree with Paddy. Tanti Girl is interesting, was an impressive winning. Look, it wasn't a great race at Ripon, but she is only had the 1 start of 1, so she could be anything. And to be fair to Iliacato, 4th beaten under 3 lengths by Happy Romance is no bad run at all. Happy Romance is just really, really progressive. I just give a little mention for Lullaby Moon as well for Rafe Beckett. I think that made its debut for William Bell. Bolted up at Goodwood, went off a short price in the super sprint that Happy Romance actually won. Was a bit disappointing. Switched to Rafe Beckett, bolted up again at Goodwood under a penalty. She just might be one that's a small bit interesting at a price, but I think Cultum, if she's a little bit more professional here, I'll take all the beating.
The Air Gold Cup is the feature race of the day at 3:40. Six places with Paddy Power, Mr. Lupton 6-1 favourite, 7-1 Nahar and Stone of Destiny, 8-1 Bielsa for Leeds fans, 10-1 Staxton, 12-1 Wise Council, 14s Air Raid and Arcebo, and 16-1 and Bigger the Rest. Paddy Power, big race of the weekend, big tricky handicap sprint. Take it away.
Yeah, so because I guess you start with Nahar and you start going like, geez, I've backed this horse about 20 times. He always lets me down and he's always favored for these big field handicaps. So say, okay, I'm not going to start with Nahar anymore, even though he'd probably go and win. He's too expensive for me to follow. And I'm going through it and there's a horse in there that I like. And it is, where's it gone? Barbell. And not just because of because I like Neil Barbell myself, but it's a big price. And this season has won every two runs, which I don't know if that's relevant or not, but he wasn't mapped last time out, so he must be a certainty this time. But he did Kimmy 5 at Haydock when I had Kimmy 5 back that day, but was pretty brave that day. We led from about 2 furlongs out and they all came and he just kept seeing them off one after the other. So I think that's a kind of a trait that might stand to him in a race like this. If he does hit the front, that there'll be loads finishing fast. So to be brave enough to keep the head down, I think maybe Barbell at 20-1 for Mick Chandler and Franny Norton.
Barbell for Paddy Power. Not necessarily the gym equipment, but actually Barbell, and you've had some quite hefty bar tabs in the past. Frank, what do you like in the Air Gold Cup?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Look, Mr. Lupton was well back last weekend with the Curragh when winning that handicap on the Sunday. Gets a £5 penalty, but they're putting Billy Garrity up claiming the 5 off, so technically he's running off the same mark, so he deserves to be at the top of the market. Nahar, obviously disappointing at Goodwood. That track doesn't suit every horse. If you go back to Newbury the time before, it was very impressive. It was, I think, it was £6 higher. The one I liked is Wise Counsel for Clive Cox. Go back a couple of years, I think he won the Silver Cup with Snazzy Jazzy. This Wise Counsel is just interesting. He hasn't had that many runs. He's actually a half-brother to the Group 1 place, Nusa Canarias. So I don't know if you remember, it was a Spanish runner in the 2000 Guineas when Knight of Thunder won. I think he finished 6th in that. He was a useful juvenile. On his third ever start, he was 3rd in novice race at Haydock over 6 furlongs, only beaten a length. But in front of that day was San Donato, Helo Yumzane. Helo Yumzane's obviously turned into a multiple Group 1 winning sprinter, and San Donato's high class as well. And he broke his maiden very easily on his next start at Haydock again, beating none other than Angel Alexander, who won this race last year. It'd be quite some story if you had two horses from the same maiden going on to win back-to-back Air Gold Cups. He had 4 starts last season, won twice at Sandown off 87, and interestingly enough, at Air, over 7 furlongs off American 91. Only had the 2 starts this year. In June, he reappeared at Goodwood in a listed race, was 3rd, not beaten very far, beat the length of the half. Didn't get the clearest of runs that day and was slowly away. You could have run upgraded a bit. Was off again until 2 weeks ago when midfield at Ascot over 7 furlongs. Screamed to me prep run for this. American 98 isn't beyond him at all. And again, he's drawn 18. He's the pace around him. I think he'd go well each way. And he's about the 12-1 mark.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples, all UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Down south we go to Newbury. Good racing down there as well. And also on ITV, 140 is the first race we're going to look at. It is the Dubai International Airport World Trophy. And Equilateral tops the market alongside Lazuli at Frank's favourite price of 9-5. Tis Marvellous 3-1, 15-2, Wise Words 22-1, and Bigger the Rest. Frank, 9-5, that's your working day, isn't it?
I wish. 9-9, more like. Well, I think that's a result of Moss Gillis becoming non-runner and it's just automatically taking the margin, and that's the price it's spat out. I'll go and tie that up, Tom. Just I know it interferes with your OCT. But this is tricky. Look, Equilateral's a horse I use like a lot, but he just doesn't win enough. He's 5-21, which doesn't look too bad, but he did win 3 of his first 6 starts. So since then, he's 2-15. He has run well on occasion. He was 2nd in the King's Stand, running on well. He does set the standard, but he just doesn't get it done enough. I don't think you can rely on him. And he's coming out quick enough after a run, the flying five at the car last week. I'm just going to give another chance to Lazuli for Charlie Appleby. Not had that many starts, only a three-year-old. Won his first two last year, was then disappointing in the Group 3 Cornwallis Stakes. Bolted up in the list of Scurry Stakes at Sandown in June, beating Keep Busy over three lengths. Keep Busy was only beaten half a length in the Flying Five last weekend. And he then was a small bit disappointing in the Group 3 Carl Charge at Sandown, went fifth. And he didn't really seem to stay six furlongs at Deauville the last day. Back to five furlongs on fast ground. He'll do for me in a race where there's, yeah, question marks, but quite a few.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go for Tis Marvelous. I just think coming here in form on the back of a win at Leicester, it's a much harder race, I guess, but same time, the fact that he's in form, he might just improve from that run. I just thought he might have less kind of question marks about him than some.
Lovely stuff. The next race we're going to look at is the 250. It is the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup Stakes, extra elusive, tops the market at 7-4. It was part of Holly Doyle's five timer at Windsor last time, and she takes the ride here again on the favourite. Desert Encounter 15-8, Ellercam 2-1, Gifts of Gold 8-1. Small field, Frank, but high quality.
That's a decent race. Ellercam's become very disappointing. He was only beaten a short head by Lord North in Haydock in a Group 3 earlier in the year. Was very disappointing in Ascot in the Hardwick Stakes, and again the last time in New York Stakes, very disappointing again, we're going off 15-8 favourite. Question mark over him at the moment. I don't think you can back him with any confidence. Extra distance in the form of his life, but he does concede a £3 penalty here, and I'm just going to go with Desert Encounter. He's won this twice in the last 3 years, was beaten in 2018 in third, ground was off that day, he was behind a deep, I think it was a deep. Young Rascal, the other William Haggis horse. Back on better ground here. He's been running okay this year without running marvellously. He was only beaten three quarters of a length in the Group 3 at Goodwood 2 runs ago. And just with his liking for Newbury and decent ground, I think he's the one to be on.
Patrick?
Yeah, I actually was going to stick with Extra Elusive in form. And it's a step a furlong further than the last day, but it was finished so strong the last day that it didn't look like it'd be any trouble to him at all. So, yeah, it's going to go for Extra Elusive to continue his role.
Lovely stuff. The feature race of the day down at Newbury is the 325. It's the Mill Reef Stakes. And on paper, it looks a very, very interesting race. 5,000-1, 2-1 favourite. Rhythm Master, fresh from Group 1 action in France, is 5-2, second favourite. 11-2, Bahrain Pride, who's been impressive in his two runs so far. And Devil Walla, 7-1, 10-1, and bigger the rest. Paddy, you can start us here.
Okay, so obviously a little bit of guesswork of trying to balance form against each other or to compare form against each other. So I was a bit surprised that Bahrain Pride wasn't a shorter price. And I think was, as you said, a little bit impressive at both starts, but also like sort of two wins from two, obviously, and impressive enough, but also pretty green. And I think I've taken that as a positive that he's going to be learning and learning and improving and improving. So yeah, I'm going to go with Bahrain Pride. 11-2, I think, is a surprisingly generous price.
11-2 in the Mill Reef for Bahrain Pride and Paddy Power. Frank?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. We've been absolutely bowled over for this 5,000-1. It wasn't that short when I priced it up on Monday. We got filled in on it. Oh, I'm a bit surprised. It was behind Bahrain Pride on debut at Windsor. Why you should reverse, I'm not 100% sure. They were both making their debut, so they were both open to improvement. Bahrain Pride went on and won a listed race at Ripon. 5,000-1 went up to Newcastle. It was very impressive, but it didn't beat a whole pile. Rhythm Master sets the standard. Impressive winner at Haydock on debut. Was only beaten 2.25 lengths in the Group 1 pretty morning. Definitely sets the standard. Drawing ground might be ideal for him. I think he probably might be best with a bit of cut. I'm going to take a chance on one of at a bit of a price, and that's a first edition for Clive Cox. He's won this race before with Harry Angel. Seems to have a really good bunch of juveniles this year. Obviously, as Nando Prado won the Coventry, and he has Supremacy, who won a group race at Goodwood in really good fashion. This horse is similar enough profile to Supremacy. A little bit green on debut, finished 4th of 8, beating 4 lengths. Step forward for that at Sandown the last day. beating significantly easily. Now, significantly is solid form, but he did an excuse today. He missed the break badly. When you take significant care of the race, he wasn't that strong, but he was very professional and won easily. And I think he's open to a bit of improvement. Just the prices, I just marked him bobbing him each way anti-post earlier in the week, and I'd probably go in again at, you know, I think we're about 12 to 1, there's 16 out there. Yeah, I'll have another few bobby to in him, I think.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Good racing in a number of different locations across Saturday, but the one other race we're going to take a look at in detail is the race down at Goran at 5-5. It is the Denny Cordell Laverack and Landwaistow Stakes. No market yet, but this is the type of race now I'm always surprised, and I know it's an unusual year, but I'm always surprised English trainers don't target this type of race. A race for older fillies and mares, three-year-olds and upwards, but obviously Ennis Simon is here, but on ratings, Frank, there's a lot. There's 30 grand to the winner, and there's black type and offer. It's kind of there for the taking a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, like Ennis Diamond's really gone a bit backwards. She did run a lot better at Galway behind Princess Zoe, but I mean, at the same time, she was still beaten over two lengths in a listed race. When you go back to, like, she was second in the Oaks and second in the Ribblesdale. You just wouldn't rely on her. The blinkers are going on. Yeah, it wasn't a race I was in love with at all. I wouldn't be surprised if someone was willing to take a chance at something like Etnea or something. Probably need to pay a price, but yeah, it wouldn't be a race I'd have too much confidence in now, and hopefully I don't have to price it, because I think it'll be very tricky to price.
Paddy Enton there standing out for you at the moment.
I wrote down Etnea as well, and the only reason why is exactly that, it's a total guess, but a lot of them are going in one direction, and Etnea has only had two runs, so there's a chance she might be going in the other direction, but that's it, just purely for that reason, but more than anything else, it's a trappy race, shall we say, for a Group 3.
Frank, anything else on Saturday worth mentioning for you?
Yeah, I just keep an eye on Newmark, the 350, the Cesarewitch trial. Cesarewitch race I always love. It's a cracker. I think Ocean Wind's worth keeping an eye on. Good bumper horse for Roger Teale. He's a trainer I like. Got off the mark the last day at Linkfield, winning well, beating John Locke. John Locke's come out and won since. I think that mark of 89 is workable. And he's one to keep an eye on. He might be a lively one for the Zarevich itself.
Lovely stuff. Lestol kicks off on Sunday. News breaking, of course, in Ireland as well, that owners will be allowed back on track from Monday the 21st. Two owners per horse, so we might be seeing a few owners down in Lestol. Frank, anything sticking out to you? Maybe Kerry National or any of the big handicaps down in Lestol?
The one race there on Kerry National Day, it's very interesting, is that the novice hurdle. You have a couple of really nice horses entered. Whether they'll take their chance or not now is the other thing, but you have Dew Cup in against Malone Road, and she wears well for Winnie Mullins. If the three of them turn up, that'll be a right good race. Obviously, Malone Road's got a massive reputation, won at Kilbeggan very easy in a bad race the last day. That'll be very interesting to watch. Kerry National again, very interesting renewal. I'd probably give Spyglass Hill a mention. Look, his jumping needs to be a bit better. If you go back to last year, he probably would have won at Naas when he tipped up against Carefully Selected. Hard to know. He definitely would have given him a good run. Bolted up a Gore next time out. Look, he was pulled up at Galway after making a bad mistake of about six out. If he can get his jumping in order, he's definitely capable of winning a race like this.
Paddy, did you ever go down on the beer in Lestol?
Ah, Jesus, I went for years, yeah. It was great. Throw me down something when you're going across the bridge into the track. Yeah, sure. It always lashed rain when I was there, but it was brilliant. I used to stay in Ballybunion, and sure was mad. It never closed. Never closed. The Golf Hotel, the disco on the roof of the Golf Hotel. And as any place, you'd see like two 70-year-olds snogging the face off each other. The very interesting thing. The one thing about Lestol, it's very much like the man's festival. Women are at a premium, like there's very few around, and there's a constant kind of a haze of Guinness fart the whole way through the town. Fantastic.
Sounds truly magical. Time for best bets of the weekend. Paddy, with your haze of Guinness farts there before you ride off into the pub, go on, tell us what is your best bet of the weekend.
I'm desperate to actually get a best bet to win. So I'm gonna get out of our misery early. I'm gonna go for a Dave in air in the 155. I just think I'm back at as quickly as you can, because I think, as Frank said, it's gonna go off much shorter than 6-4, 13-8, whatever it is now.
A Dave in for Paddy Power. Frank Hickey, best bet of the weekend.
I agree, Paddy. That'll probably win if you want a winner, but I'm gonna go for the big one and go for a Wise Counsel in the Air Gold Cup at a price.
Jesus Christ. Right. Wise Counsel and a Dave. Frank, will you get back into the habit of putting that up on site for us, will you? And
yeah,
give it
yeah.
an old enhance it a tick or two. It'll be a wild price. And that is your weekend double. Lads, before you go, a few quick questions. Frank from social media, Emma asks, Frank is widely regarded as a top tipster, but who is his idea of the best tipster in the media? The tipster's tipster, if you will.
I'm right here, Frank.
Hugh Taylor.
Hugh Taylor for At the Races. You he's a judge.
100%, yeah. Yeah. He's just he's very, like, there's loads of people there's loads I'd respect, like Paul Keady, Tom Segal, Hugh Taylor, Andy Holding. They're all very good. You'd definitely take a Bowworth if they tip one up, and you'd react accordingly, like when you're trading them. Yeah. There's plenty of good ones. There's plenty of bad ones as well. We won't mention them.
Better not. And Paddy, Nigel asks, steak and chips for myself and the partner tonight, Paddy. Any good bottle of red knocking around lately?
Well, funny you should say. What I became partial to during lockdown, and someone said to me, I thought they were bananas, but if the weather's good where you are as it is here, Pinot Noir. And you can stick it in the fridge, even a red one. Stick it in the fridge for a little bit. Don't make it really cold, but a little bit chilled. A Pinot Noir is very nice with an old steak and chips.
I think Paddy deserves his own wine section on a Friday. His insights on wine are, it's almost like he drinks a lot of it. Anyway, lads, have a good weekend and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
I'm going, lads.
Righto, that's all we've got time for on this week's From the Horse's Mouth. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers on paddypower.com. My thanks to Paddy and Frank, and thanks, of course, to you for listening. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
So pick it up, Frank. Pick it up in your hand. Like, pick up, is it in the cradle or is it in the tripod? Just pick it up and, like, put the phone arse over end, if that makes sense. If you actually pick...
So, Frank, do you have all the fancy new gear up now?
Yeah. But it's like, during that episode of Friends, when Joey brings your one back and Chandler and Monica have the camera set up in the living room.
Oh, it looks like you're setting up for a bit of a sex tape.
Yeah.